This is Colourful.
And well, there we have that encounter between Dread SA Mitchell and Dr. David Starkey. Tony Sewell, Dr. Tony Sewell, the founder of Generating Genius, is on the line. Tony, you've come forward in the mail today to say, look, don't shoot the messenger. Much of what he says is right. Can you explain?
Well, no, I mean, much of what he says, I mean, well, let's put it this way, 50% of what he says is wrong. I mean, the link to Enoch Powell, some of the other sort of, the kind of way it's been put across is probably not helpful. However, the sentiment is absolutely right, and it's in line with what I've been saying for years, as you know, Henry, that in fact, we've shifted. And if we want to talk about analysing what black culture is, I don't know really what it is anymore. But, yeah. I mean, certainly we've moved from a point where we were singing freedom songs and we were talking about spirituality and we were very chivalrous in terms of women to basically semi-pornography and violence. I mean, as the big diet of the youth, the mainstream youth culture. Really, in a sense, perpetuated, ironically, by some of those companies that were looted in the riots. Yeah. They piggybacked on the back of this. And, you know, so we're all in this together. Now, the idea that white youth is somehow kind of not affected by this is nonsense.
The problem a lot of people had with that, Tony, is that Dr. Starkey seemed to be saying, well, this black youth culture is poisoning white youth, and it led to the kind of mad nihilism that we saw over the last few days, when, of course, there are so many other bigger, stronger influences on the majority youth, as well as black young people.
I don't know if you can. I think that's listen, the way in which, I don't know if you, Henry, you know, if you're a single mother in a home and yeah. you and your son has been babysat by MTV and also the other kind of influences around, what he's actually saying is, look at what has been the manifestation of this. You know, our kids have just gone really hungry on materialism to a point where, you know, they're out of control. And I think that's a valid point to make.
Mm-hmm. But Tony, I mean, when it comes to... When it comes to materialism, what are some of the drivers of materialism? It isn't just what youngsters see on TV. It's about how people behave upstairs, not just on the street. So we're talking about how we generate wealth in this country, how we're obsessed by accumulation of wealth, credit cards, mortgages, interest rates. The news is dominated each and every single day by the accumulation of wealth by people at all levels of society.
But where it pinpointed, and I think we've got to historically look at this, we've been talking about this before the riot. Mm. This is why this debate is not new. I mean, I've had this on your show before.
Yeah.
Basically, that, you know, the tipping point for young people happens is in the music, is in the popular culture. That's where the big corporates touch them. And I think that at that point, Starkey's right. You know, we've been involved in this.
What do you say to this, then, Tony?
We're not innocent.
We got an email in from Tony in Stratford. He says BET and VH1 are owned by Viacom, a very white company. They decide what gets shown and how things are portrayed. So if there's lots of guns, gangs, and misogyny in videos,
is Sean Combs white or black? Puff Daddy, is he white or black?
Diddy's black. Yeah.
Tell me about tell me about Notorious B.I.G. Tell me about all the other black rappers that have Snoop Doggy. How much millions is he making? And not only on the rapping circuit, but actually on the corporate circuit as well. Everyone's in this. And to sort of split it and say, oh, it's just big white corporations, everybody got round the table and everybody got paid.
I should paraphrase an email that I got from a friend of mine who's of Jamaican origin, who's a QC, and he said, this is ironic and offensive, actually, what David Starkey said, because behind closed doors, an awful lot of black folk in this country are terrified about the influence that what you might call white working class culture has had on their children over successive generations, because, of course, they came here from the Caribbean and Africa with hope in their eyes. You'll know the phrase. They came here to build up themselves and the mother country, maybe to go back one day. And actually what happened to their children from the 60s onwards has absolutely terrified them, which is one of the reasons why they're running to the churches and to the mosques to get away with the majority culture. So rather than it being the majority white youngsters being polluted by black urban youth culture, actually it's the interaction between between black children of a couple of generations with the majority culture here that has created this culture, this black culture that people are now complaining about?
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid point. But I mean, I still think that, you know, we know how it's put through. The credible image out there, I'm sorry to say, but that's how it started, and that's how it's perpetuated. And I think that, if it's going to be another debate where everybody runs into denial again, and nobody, particularly, I think, black leaders do not face this. I tried to face it a long time ago, and you know the trouble I've got now.
The firestorm.
Suddenly converts are coming round. But, it looks like I'm hearing again, everybody's gone into some sort of denial again as they take up their stance, and it's sad. Our young people are suffering.
What about this, Tony? What about this? I don't understand how anyone can defend Starkey's unequivocal comments. How is it that Lindsay John and Tony Saul are always called upon by the Daily Mail to defend racists?
Now, it's because both I and Lindsay, right, are trying to give a point of view where we saw this coming. We saw, as James Baldwin said, the fire next time. We saw it coming, and we've been here, out there, trying to sort of say, look, try a different way. You know, this is what you're going to get on your head. And we were vilified then, and it seems to me like we're still vilified now. Sad.
I mean, well, the other problem that people had was with this phrase, black culture or black youth. Well, black culture, that's the generic term that was used, because people who come to this country from overseas, whether from Jamaica, whether from Nigeria, they don't recognise what has been created here in Britain. So it is a British culture. It's all part and parcel.
I mean? I think the best term to call it is a transatlantic culture.
Right, okay.
And I think that's the best one, because Jamaica, little Jamaica, and I love the place, you know, that's my roots. We do fight above our weight, yeah? Mm-hmm. And we're mixed in the business as much as anybody else is. And we've brought to the world lots of positives, but we're also complicit in some of the negative stuff as well. And that goes to New York, that goes across to London, and that triangle, has brought so much good. Mm-hmm. And it's been the triangle, really, of liberation for the world. You know, the freedom anthems that you hear in Syria and all of those coming from that triangle. But it also is a triangle of pornography, violence, drugs. Let's get real, you know. And that's what we've got to say. We've got to take this, and we've got to sort of understand what is happening to us.
And I suppose understand.
Not just sit back and sit back and be politically correct.
Yeah, no one wants to be politically correct. No, certainly not here, Tony. But what I suppose, and some of the audience is interested in is just how this was created. Because if we look at how it was created, because many of these are poses and gestures of resistance, which began from, 60s, 70s onwards, and then became something a lot more materialistic as societies, add governments, Reagan in the States, Thatcher here, helped to change the culture.
No, Henry, let me put you another, thing to it. Yep. The word freedom is interesting.
Yes.
We use the word freedom in the 60s and 70s to mean freedom from oppression, from slavery, whatever. Freedom now in the black context means I am free to access a mobile phone.
Yes.
I am free. Give me the liberation to go and put on the trainers, whatever. It's a completely, we've almost trying to put the whole thing upside down.
That's exactly what I agree with you, Tony, but what I'm saying is the roots of this also lie not just with what's happening at the bottom, but what's happening at the top in the way in which governments try to set the framework for a society. So Reagan in the States, Thatcher here, because it's not just in the young black community where this rise of individualism and certain kinds of nihilism have spread. It's also spread to the majority culture in different ways. That's one of the points that people are trying to make.
Yeah, I agree with that. Henry.
Got an email in from Justin. It says he's titled it Saul's Rose-Tinted View is Bunkum. When I was a kid, I listened to freedom songs and black music. It used to be about spirituality and being chivalrous to women. He's written that. I think that's sarcasm. Don't take me literally. He says, Bob Marley wrote a song called Rioting and Looting in 1987, Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye in the 70s, Sex Machine by James Brown in the 60s.
Listen,
Black people.
Look, look,
Let me finish and then come in. Black people's dancing was denounced as overly sexual in the 50s. The whites have become black since Elvis Presley and the Rolling Stones, he says. Gangster rap takes inspiration from Hispanic and Italian American gangs. Shall we blame the Italian mafioso? Economic deprivation contributes more to the culture of criminality than ethnicity. Tony.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all that is fine, and I kind of understand where he's coming from with that. And I kind of agree with some of that. But what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, the levels in which we have to deal with this is we have to kind of ask ourselves, how did we get here? What was the process? Understand the process. Understand what has actually happened. Instead of saying, look, oh, it's another story of white versus black. It isn't.
Okay.
We're involved in this as much as anybody else. And I think that's the key element here. We've got to take ownership of a culture that we've lost, really, and see if we can retrieve some of it back, you know.
You've got a final one here, Tony, because I know we've got to let you go, but I should give you the opportunity to respond to this before I read it out. Tony is just an opportunist. He helped create a lot of confusion. He was doing that for years in the Voice newspaper. I ask all listeners to be careful of what you're hearing from Tony. That from Mark.
The conspiracy theorists can come out, like, you know, as they do and they will do, and they will come from all corners. The bottom line here is that I'm a great opportunist, you know, in the sense that I see this as a great opportunity for black culture to step forward, because people are acknowledging its power. Somebody said about Elvis and Southern culture in America. Mm. Yes, of course, we are a powerful force in the world. The problem is we've allowed it to be usurped in a wrong way, and none of our leaders have stepped up and said this. And until we say this, what this has shown is that we are a powerful agency for change.
Right.
And if we can get a leadership that's gonna take that in a positive direction, then that is proof positive. Yes, yeah, I'm an opportunist for sure. Yeah.
Dr. Tony Searle, CEO, founder of Generating Genius. Thanks very much for contributing to our debate this morning. Thanks a lot, Tony.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers. Yeah.
This is Colourful.